This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. New World Report with Joseph Umar. Secure Free Society. He's the executive director. We go to Argentina. Joseph tells me he's traveled to Argentina. I have not. That it is a beautiful land. That it was heavily settled by European visitors in the 19th century. And that Buenos Aires, the capital, the large city, is very European in architecture, in the streets. However, there's enormous trouble in Argentina over many years, and it's peculiar given the richness of its resources. The problem is a combination of inflation and protectionism and strong leadership, sometimes known as caudillos. Once upon a time it was the Peronistas, now it's a group called the Kirchneristas, derived from the Kirchner family, once president and vice president, and now the vice president is Kirchner, and the president is a man chosen by Kirchner. The trouble comes because they're now negotiating with the IMF for loans, which are always late, and Argentina has a pattern of being unable to repay its loans over the years. We have this news from Europe. Argentina has hardened its position as a deadline looms for renegotiating $45 billion of debt owed to the IMF, insisting that the Washington-based lender cuts the rates it charges and supports the government's economic plans to secure a deal. Joseph, I won't go on because there are a lot of strong, threatening statements here from the economy minister, Martin Guzman. I will say that one of those measures includes what, according to the London reporting, 1,432 products have their prices fixed with an enormous appendix that sets out how they're going to control each product in the country's 24 provinces. Joseph, this is mind-numbing. It's beyond Orwell's imagination to conceive of a government that fixes prices so vastly and that struggles with inflation and that challenges the IMF, which wants to be repaid for its generosity over the years. Is this something new in Argentina, or is this something that's happened before many times?
Well, it's happened historically, but it's most specifically happened pretty much throughout the 21st century. The 21st century began with an economic crisis inside Argentina, which led to the ascension of the then president, Néstor Kirchner. He's the beginning of the Kirchner era. And then for the next 12 years, Néstor Kirchner first, then Cristina Kirchner ruled the country and pretty much took Argentina from an economic case that was struggling to an economic basket case. And it's on its road to becoming the next Venezuela if it doesn't radically change directions. Next to Venezuela, Argentina has the highest rates of inflation in the region. It's had over 50% inflation pretty much throughout this entire year. The last month in September had the highest record of inflation to date in 2021, which is 52.5%. Now you're moving into hyperinflation. And pretty much all the economic policies of the Alberto Fernandez government, the current government in Argentina, are political or they're geared towards communications, but have no adherence to economic logic. And this is the problem that we're seeing with Argentina. I have many friends that live in the country. As you mentioned, John, I traveled there quite a bit over recent years. And they're all very, very concerned because their paycheck, if they're paid in pesos, is becoming less valuable. They can't buy or pay for the same goods and services that they once were able to pay because the inflation is killing their currency. And so this is something that's becoming a big problem in Argentina, but here's the silver lining. There are elections coming up in Argentina. Now, they're not presidential elections. They're legislative elections. Nonetheless, the Argentine Congress is a big part of the balance of power inside the country. So the midterm elections that's coming up very quick on November 14th of this year, according to the last primary that was in September of this year, the anti-Kirchnerista coalition should take control of the Congress. Now, we'll know that for sure in a matter of a week or so, but that's the silver lining because if they can take control of the Congress, they can put a check on a lot of these failed economic policies such as price controls and more public spending by the Alberto Fernandez government.
We're looking at printing money. That has been true for these many years, hyperinflation. So the puzzle is, who benefits from the Kirchner approach to the IMF or to price fixes. Is there some group in the country that does well despite these awful conditions?
Well, not so much in the country, although there's obviously all kinds of corrupt politicians and businessmen, crony capitalist businessmen that will benefit from this. But the real beneficiary, the real winner of these failed economic policies in Argentina and their harsh rhetoric against the IMF is China. China, in the meantime, as they're having this kind of tit-for-tat with the IMF and their economy is plunging, China's jumping in and buying everything on the cheap. And that's pretty much what they do worldwide. But in Argentina, they have a strategic alignment with the Alberto Fernandez government that extends from the alignment that they had with the Cristina Kirchner government that was in years past. And so it's gotten so bad in the case of Argentina that there's some people that call it Argentina because of the high levels of debt and the high levels of critical infrastructure that's now under Chinese control. There's a couple of things that come to mind when we think about Argentina and China's relations. One is energy, because China is probably the main investor into the energy infrastructure inside Argentina, which also includes nuclear. And the second is opaque projects that China has inside Argentina that could be leveraged off their economic support, one of which is a satellite tracking station in the southern part of the country that's run by a PLA-controlled company. There's actually a colonel that runs this satellite tracking station, and the Argentine government has no idea what it's doing. And this actually goes back to the Mauricio Macri presidency, the previous government, who tried to fix that problem and try to get more transparency on these opaque Chinese military projects in the country, but only to be pushed back because they have too much debt and too much financial interest at stake to not upset the Chinese.
You mentioned the previous president, Mauricio Macri, who was elected in 2015 and represented the center-right, a.k.a. the market politics of Latin America. These terms are relative. They're not absolutely fixed, but center-right, center-left. Now, Macri's presidency had great promise, but following it, as best I could over the years, it led to a failure. And the question is, why? Why did he fail, knowing that he needed to stop the inflation, stop printing money, and establish market conditions? What undermined him, Joseph?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that we have to point to in President Macri's period of presidency where he was not able to essentially win the hearts and minds inside Argentina, and part of that was because he wasn't able to drastically improve the economic situation. I think the first is the fact that he wasn't as transparent as he needed to be at the beginning of his presidency in 2015 about the dire economic situation the country was in after 12 years of Kirchner rule. He obviously, that was part of his campaign, that was part of his talking points, and he said it, but he didn't explain it at the level that Argentines really understood for one principal reason, because he wanted to attract foreign investment. And so in the interest of attracting foreign investment, he didn't want to make it sound like Argentina was in this horrible condition, because then who's going to invest into a country that's weak and that has failed institutions? So because of that, he essentially downplayed the bad economic situation. And while he improved the economy in his 5 years as president, it wasn't felt or really was the public opinion didn't shift towards his favor by the end of it, which is why he wasn't reelected. And then the second thing, John, is I think he really kind of lacked an understanding of how the power structure in Argentina is not just centralized within government. He didn't really engage the civil society, and that's something that Cristina Kirchner has done very well. Even though she has a bunch of failed policies, she's built a civil society network of NGOs and activists and student groups and pretty much people on the street that will support her regardless of where she takes the country. And that means that she'll have some level of political power even when she's not in an official position, which is how Cristina Kirchner maintained her power structure and eventually led to the new government of Alberto Fernandez and her as the vice president. So there was mistakes made by the Macri government that are important lessons that other governments in the region need to pay attention to so they don't make those same mistakes. I'm referring specifically to the Duque government in Colombia, the Piñera government in Chile. Now, while those governments are on their towards the end of their tenure, they need to make sure that this doesn't completely absolve all the problems inside their country so that they make those same mistakes that Macri did in Argentina.
You mentioned the Chilean government, Sebastian Piñera, that's the pending election. But that reminds me that we have an indigenous protest that starts in Chile with the Mapuche. I'm told that these are the indigenous people that dominate the south of Chile, and spills over into Patagonia in Argentina. Are the Mapuche demonstrations in Santiago matched by Mapuche demonstrations in Buenos Aires? Are these coordinated in some fashion or not?
So we're not seeing Mapuche protests at the level or scale that we're seeing in Chile. We're not seeing that in Argentina, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's not coordinated. And in fact, the Mapuches, that which have different subgroups or factions, if you want to call them that, within, have been able to somewhat centralize their political messaging in Argentina and Chile. And that's not always been the case. In the past, there was different messaging, different context from the different Mapuche groups inside of two different countries. But lately, we've seen a centralized political messaging, and it's aimed more at Argentina. I think one of the reasons, it's aimed more at Chile. And one of the reasons I think that's the case is because they're being steered by certain actors, whether it's regional actors such as Venezuela or Bolivia, or even external actors that provide that kind of disinformation support, such as Russia, China, Iran, that are trying to use the Mapuches as a way to weaken the democracy and the national sovereignty of Chile, because they're not on board with the authoritarian project of Venezuela and these other groups inside the region.
You mentioned outside actors. Moscow gets my attention always, but we can mention Tehran. You've already mentioned Beijing. At this point, is that a debate in Buenos Aires pending these midterm elections? Is that a debate in Chile pending this presidential election, that there are bad actors from outside the region? And we could continue from Tehran. We could talk about the Hezbollah, the operatives of the guerrilla organization, the terrorist organization out of Lebanon. Is that commonplace conversation in Santiago and Buenos Aires?
Not as much as it should be. I think there's still a lot of Latin American politicians that don't understand the nature in which the world has been globalized, and so that things that happen on other sides of the world, including in Tehran or Moscow or Beijing, impact things that are happening in South America. But that said, it's not necessarily also something that's completely ignored. I think the big equalizer, so to speak, is Venezuela, because in both cases, whether it's in Chile in their presidential election or Argentina in its legislative one, they both talk a lot about Venezuela, both because of the mass migration, which has become a problem for both countries, but also because of the fact that they understand that if they don't fix their current situation, they could become the next Venezuela. I think that's especially a problem inside Argentina. Inside Argentina, many people are worried about Argentina becoming an economic crisis, much in the way that Venezuela has become because of the inflation. And that's how it started in Venezuela, high levels of inflation, then it became the scarcity of imports, and then it became the hunger and the lack of medicine and the lack of food and all that stuff. So they're worried about that much more in Argentina because their economic situation is much more dire. But the Chileans aren't ignorant of it either.
Joseph, in the event that the Kirchneristas do not succeed at the midterm election, are they capable of ignoring the results, taking over the country, ruling as an emergency, or is that for countries like Venezuela only?
Well, I wouldn't put anything past Cristina Kirchner. She's been proven to have many tricks up her sleeve. She's kind of a politician with nine lives. You would think with all the different corruption cases and indictments that she has against her that she would be barred from being a political figure in the country, but she survived all that, and she's the current vice president. So I wouldn't put anything past her. But again, Argentina is not yet at the situation that Venezuela or even Bolivia, which is its neighbor, which is the situation that they're in, where their opposition is weak and completely infiltrated and has very little ability to mount an offensive against a political offensive against their rivals. And in the case of Argentina, I see the political opposition gaining a lot of strength. And what's very positive, at least for me, is that they're starting to unify, which that's what's been the mistake in many of these other countries, whether it's Venezuela or Bolivia or other places. The opposition fragments because they all accuse each other of corruption or other things, and then they basically weaken their unity of effort to be able to take on a huge power like it is the Evo Morales regime or the Maduro regime in Venezuela. In the case of Argentina, I don't see that happening right now. They're actually moving together despite having some subtle political differences. They both understand that if they don't unify, that their country can go in a very negative direction.
Joseph Umar is the executive director of Secure Free Society based in Washington. This is the New World Report. We're dealing with democracy in trouble in Latin America with pending elections. We're going to turn to something that is transnational next, which is in Nature magazine, the premier magazine of science, the peer-reviewed premier magazine of science in Europe. The headline, How Latin American Researchers Suffer in Science. When we come back, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.